This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
In 2026, investors continue to face volatile markets and uncertain times. How can they seek to access differentiated alpha through targeting market dislocation? Here with me to answer this question is Adil Mirza, Senior Fund Manager within our Global High Yield team. Welcome, Adil. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, June, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year indeed. So let's set the scene. We've entered a new year and it's already shaping up to be an extraordinary one for investors. We're facing continued geopolitical and trade tensions, shifts in the global economy, and also the rapid rise of artificial intelligence. So firstly, what is the big picture from a macro and market perspective? What are the three key things you're monitoring as an active fixed income fund manager?
Yeah, I think this year will be more of a continuation of last year. So the big three themes will be further down the road. So first, as you mentioned, technology. That CapEx build out specifically in AI will continue. We're probably still at the early innings of that industrialization of new technology. The second is geopolitics. Again, you mentioned that. You know, we started off the year with a bit of a headline coming out of Venezuela and the US there. And that'll continue throughout this year as we sort of find new trading channels, new allies, etc., and the world sort of reforms that way. And the third, I think, as a fixed income manager, is really a function of the two that we've just said. That's going to set the scene for winners and losers, and at an aggregate level, the economy is doing fine, but there will be some winners and losers as these two shifts take place. I think that's the top three.
That sounds like quite a complex situation to manage and navigate. So let's discuss the potential investment implications of such a backdrop. What do investors need to consider here? The title of this podcast touches on differentiated alpha. But what is it and how do you seek these opportunities in such a tricky environment?
So as we just said, that within these shifts, there's winners and losers. And that can present opportunities as risk needs to be re-underwritten as the facts change, credit profiles change, capital structures don't quite fit. There's price discovery that takes place. Traditional benchmark strategies aren't really set up to take advantage of that. They're not designed to take concentrated positions when things look dislocated. And I think that's a source of alpha this year, especially while the markets are tight. We are at what we say in credit metrics, we're at the top decile. So we're up at the top 10% of valuations. Given its credit, that means there's limited upside. So focusing on these dislocated credits are a key way to drive alpha.
So where are you currently seeing dislocation right now? And what's driving this? And how are you seeking those opportunities?
So there's always facts change regularly and companies, what people perceive their risk to be, changes, there's risk transfer and price discovery has to take place. And that can provide opportunity. In particular, especially within the leveraged part of the market, there are capital structures that have too much debt given the structural changes of interest rates that we've found. And when refinancing takes place, there has to be some sort of change to fit the new regime, and that within itself can present opportunities.
Right. So in the spirit of being balanced, what are the potential pitfalls of this approach and what risks should investors be mindful of and look to avoid, especially in this environment?
Yeah. So if you're taking a concentrated approach, you really not only have to be certain on your base case. So you believe that the market is mispricing something fundamentally, you see a path to recovery, and you think it's a good entry point. The other piece you need is to ensure you have a margin of error, a margin of safety rather. So assessing the downside is crucial. So you have upside optionality and better asymmetry. In a perfect world, you're pricing close to what you perceive to be a downside, and that gives you a strong level of asymmetry. And if that's done properly, you have better risk-adjusted returns. The risk in taking a concentrated approach is that you misjudge valuation and you misjudge the evolution of the story, if you like. And that can lead to a bad outcome. So it's really important that you have a process, a strong, experienced team to really understand your fundamental valuations and the evolution of the story and overlay that on valuation and market price.
So you mentioned the importance of having that base case, but also having that margin of error. Could you explain how you do that and what your process is for that?
Yeah, so when we look at any particular company, we look at a base case. So this is what we think will likely occur and how the evolution of that credit will be. And that'll be the main thing we think about. But we also want to think about, okay, if we get things wrong, we can't predict the future, how will this particularly look? And we really focus on that downside. So that's a combination of looking at the credit metrics, overlaying that with scenario analysis, and thinking about what that end state in a downside scenario will look like. Now, if the market is pricing just to that downside, and we have a base case which is above that, that gives us that margin of error and a greater level of asymmetry. And it's those particular situations we'd like to focus on.
You mentioned taking concentrated positions, so I wanted to ask you a bit more about that. So investors are often told not to put all their eggs in one basket. What is the potential counter to that? And can concentration be good in some cases?
Yeah, I mean, there's also a phrase that have your eggs in one basket and watch the basket closely. But I think that's right. I think as an overall allocation, you want to be diversified. So you would have equities, bonds, different benchmarks, commodities, and have an overall diversified risk profile. But having some allocation to a fund that's more, or strategy more focused on alpha generation, it shouldn't affect your diversification and can give you that extra return and level of alpha. Now, obviously, if you are more concentrated in these positions, there is downside risk, but that's where somebody who has experience in doing this and has a track record of achieving positive results are very important. We have a very experienced team. We've been doing this for a while, and we really understand the nuances of credit in order to take these kinds of concentrated positions in more dislocated credits in an opportunistic manner.
To bring this to life, can you share an example of a sector or a company that has moved from stress to performing where you may have been able to target market dislocation?
Yeah, so last year, there were several companies within the technology and telecommunication sector within Europe that were stressed at various points. And there were several reasons for this. One, we spoke about high leverage. These companies had a bit too much leverage. The other was the business not operating to the level people thought. So revenue or margin wasn't quite there. And there were strong reactions to the market price, which, you know, we looked at these companies quite closely and we felt that they would recover or they're able to delever significantly So the price of risk should change and there be some upside. Thankfully, many of those stories played out as we thought and generated a high level of alpha within the portfolio.
So it feels almost impossible to predict the future in this current climate, but what is your outlook for the rest of 2026? And will we see even more dispersion and volatility? What can investors expect?
Yeah, so I think, again, 26 will look a lot like last year in terms of the main themes, which we spoke about: technology, geopolitical risk. And the market so far has done a good job of looking through these risks. And actually, it's been proven correct that they haven't had a huge economic impact on aggregate. So be that on the growth side, be that on the inflation side, and be that on the revenue side. So I think we'll continue with these themes and have flashpoints throughout the market. But as we spoke about, the winners and losers that will occur, and you could say that's the tail part of the market, will involve dispersion. And I think that will continue throughout the year. And it's that where we really want to be focused on, as these dispersed credits, some will provide opportunities, some won't actually look that attractive as the market delevers.
Great. Thank you so much, Adil. I'm afraid that's all we've got time for today, but thank you for such a fascinating conversation.
Thank you very much, June. Thank you.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues, or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information. Not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us are meant to capture a global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an Alternative Investment Fund Manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.